Welcome to the Edge of Reality. Where's your edge? Give it up for your host, Allie.
Good evening, everyone. It is Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and that means we are live, the Edge of Reality, here on the NDB channel, media channel on Blog Talk Radio. Happy Thursday to you all. And of course, Thursday is one step closer to the weekend. It might even be the weekend for you if you have tomorrow off, which I hope you do. I don't, but I hope you do. Big show for you tonight. Nothing went down for a week of Big Brother until 2 hours before the live show, and then everything went down. We'll talk through that. I watched the finale of Bachelorette. I'm just saying I did. And it was very interesting. I want to talk about it a little bit. I watched it, though. So we'll talk about that. I want to talk a little, are you the one? Because there was a blackout. We haven't seen a blackout in several seasons. They lost $250,000. They're down to $750,000. It's not as bad because there's less people this season. So it doesn't take their money down. It still takes their money down considerably, but not as much as if it was a 20-person season. It's only a 16-person season. But that's still not a lot of money when you're sharing it with 16 people. So we'll discuss that. All this and more, but before I do anything else, I have to say hello to my co-host and producer, Priscilla. Hey, Priscilla, what's going on this evening?
Hello, y'all. It's all good in the neighborhood. Can I retire? I like vacations.
Can you retire from this podcast? No. From work? Yes.
Yes. That's what
yeah.
I want.
You can. Yeah.
Nice.
Absolutely. Done.
Okay. Done.
If you retire, if you retire, can we podcast twice a week?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know about time, man. I'm busier when I'm on vacation than I am when I'm at work.
I'm taking maybe as a yes. Done. Yeah, so we got to talk about a bunch of things, but I will give you an elementary update because last week, so we're live at 10 p.m. Eastern on Thursday nights, which is right after the live Thursday Big Brother. And if you're listening to us on archive, which you can do that on blogtalkradio.com or on iTunes, if you're listening to us then, that's when we're recording the show. And last week, I accidentally kept CBS on during the show, and Elementary was on. And in the middle of the episode, I was thinking to I looked up and I saw this guy, and I thought to myself, my God, he looks just like BB16 Cody Califieri, brother of Pauly. And then you, the next day, sent me a clip, and it was Cody. And I was like, wow, called it. So now I'm keeping Elementary on again because who knows, maybe Cappy will be on this week. You know? How random would that be? Cappy is on Elementary this week. But that was the first Big Brother contestant I could think of. Which is saying something about me. Maybe Victoria will be there. Who knows? So, Big Brother this week. I mean, we were getting a pretty normal, pretty lame, pretty boring week. Holly wins HOH. Holly puts up Nick and Sam. Nick is the target to go home. Nobody really likes Nick, especially after the Bella stuff. And Nick wins veto, so that plan is out the window. So Sam is the automatic person is going to go home. Guilty by association is what everybody is saying. And they just need to find a replacement nominee that will ensure that Sam goes home, maybe someone who's not going to get too mad that they're on the block. Hey, why not Nicole? Yeah, we don't like Nicole. Nobody likes Nicole. Let's put her up. But Christy, thank God for Christy, is pushing back on this and says, let's not do Nicole. No, let's keep Nicole safe. We might need Nicole later. Let's not do that. Thank God, because I was very worried that Nicole was going up this week. Instead, Kat volunteers to go on the block for her best friend Holly's HOH week, which, you know, if you recall, Holly and Kat know each other from outside of the game, if you remember. So she immediately regrets it, tries to take it back, but Holly takes advantage of it, puts her up on the block, and then the rest of the week, there's little murmurs. You know, maybe we should keep Sam. Maybe Sam would be good. Maybe Sam would fight for us. Maybe Sam would win HOH and put people from the six on the block, and then we can take some shots at them without putting them up ourselves. But it wasn't looking like Kat was going anywhere. It wasn't looking like Sam was going to stay up until late this afternoon when a real coalition was forming. A real, you know, they were really talking it up. A flip was about to go down. And then, boom, feeds cut because the show's about to start in 2 hours. They usually cut the feeds around that time. And nobody knows what's going on. Julie Chen, Moonbez, gets on to the live episode and hypes up that the last 2 hours have been insane. So much has gone down. There's a crazy amount of tension in the house, you know. And I've never seen, Priscilla, maybe you can think of an example. I've never seen Julie hype up a, like, oh my God, I can't believe what I was watching. I can't believe that all this happened right before the live vote. It sounds like a flip has never happened right before a vote, and we know it has. But my take on it is there was a lot of fighting that happened right before. So cut to the live show. No one's even in their seats. They're all still talking, which I think we have seen before on Big Brother, where people haven't been on their seats. They were still trying to figure out what they were going to do up until the last minute. I'm pretty sure we've seen that before.
I'm sure it happened, but I don't think she's hyped it up like that before.
I mean, Julie was clearly watching and clearly, like, into it, whatever is going on. I mean, she was hyped up for it. And it made the live show very weird because the first segment was a segment, you know, your typical leading up, aftermath of Kat being on the block, after the veto ceremony, you know, this just normal stuff. And then before the vote, she cuts to a live look at the house guests, and she's asking them questions about being in the house for 44 days. And she shows them a clip. Tommy did a choreographed dance routine with all the house guests, a very elaborate one where they started out in different parts of the house and then all came together, kind of like a, oh my God, a mob, what is it called? Flash mob? Kind of like a flash mob, but like no one else was there. And they just, yeah, oh yeah. They set it up. They timed it for like after dark so that after dark would start and they would be at different parts of the house. And then all of a sudden they would start dancing and end up together. It was very elaborate. It was very good. But they showed them that clip. And I just thought, this is very weird. This was like, they didn't show another segment. I wasn't sure if they scrapped a segment, like a segment was supposed to have been shown and they scrapped it because it didn't work, or they just wanted to like calm the intensity down. So they wanted to ask questions because they asked questions about their family, their loved ones, nothing house related, nothing game related, obviously. It was very, and they asked questions to probably the three people that are top three for America's Favorite Player right now. Could you guess who those three people are? You didn't see this part. Could you guess who those three people are, Priscilla, who she asked questions to?
Well, my guess
top three for America's Favorite Player.
Top three favorite player. No, I don't know.
I don't. She asked questions of Cliff, Nicole, and Tommy. And those are clearly America's favorite.
Oh, my God. You're kidding me. I would have never guessed
those. Really? Who do you think America is rooting for right now?
Rooting for, but not say their favorite.
Well,
out of those
who
three,
would you think would be a favorite?
I don't have any favorites. I don't like any of them.
I like Nicole a lot. I like Nicole a lot. Tommy's okay. He gets annoying, but he's okay.
I'm just watching the episodes. I'm not watching the live feed. So to me, she's non-existent on the show, really.
Yeah, and that's a shame, because she's very good on the feeds. And you should just know that I like her a lot, therefore you should like her a lot. Mm. So just know that. Just know that. You would. I'm telling you, I know your type of player. You would like her. She is, she knows when to step on the gas. She knows when to step back. And she's very straightforward.
Now,
she's had very good confrontations with people that are not yelling and screaming, but she gets her point across very well.
I thought Kat was on your list.
I like Kat as a character. As a game player, she's terrible. But as a character, I find her funny. I find her funny, but she's a terrible game player. But she's definitely up there for me. She's probably in my top three. Cliff is a way better game player. He surprises me often with the level of games that he's playing in the house. But I'm not as into him as I think a lot of people are. There's just something about him that I'm not necessarily into. Yeah, so it's hard. Tommy, Tommy has his moments, but he's too much sometimes. He's too much. So, but Nicole is really my go-to. Sam was up there for me too. I mean,
I do like Sam.
Yeah, Sam was up there for me. But anyway, she asked questions of like the three like AFP contenders, which I thought was interesting. Also, when Sam got his goodbye messages at the end of the show, Cliff and Nicole also got their goodbye messages shown. It must have been – it's interesting because Sam was very well-liked in the house. People thought he was funny. People thought he was nice. But you can tell a lot by people's goodbye messages. And they were pretty shallow. No one was super upset. Everyone was just like – you're a nice guy. Good luck, you know, to your wife and kids. Have a good day. You know, it was very like, none of it was like, I'm going to miss you. You know, I'm fighting for you. It was nothing like that. He like at the end of the day, he left with a whimper. You know, even with Nick, Nick's goodbye message. And they're supposed to be, he was just like, you were my best friend in the house. I love you. Good luck. And that was the end of it. So it was, you could just tell that Sam, even though people like Sam, they weren't super emotionally invested with him. The last, I guess, couple hours, a flip was happening. Everybody found out about the flip, which made it worse. And which leads me to ask you this question, Priscilla. A flip is happening. People find out about it. Doesn't the flip have to go through then? People know that you were about to do it. People knew that you're going to do it. Don't you have to do it and get that person out of the house then?
Well, normally, but let me ask you this. I'm only halfway through the show, so I don't know who were the ones that were going to flip.
It was the Christy, Tommy, Jack side of the house.
Jack or Jackson?
Jack.
Really?
Yeah, they were going to vote to take out Kat. Which is not necessarily a bad move, considering that Kat is Holly's closest ally. you know?
Right.
Why not take Kat out during Holly's HOH? Kat has proven that she can win some things, so she's not like someone that you say, oh, what is the, you know, what are the odds that she's going to win something? Because she's definitely capable. She did very well on the endurance comp, which, by the way, we didn't talk about, but who called Holly winning from the very beginning? Was it me? I'm pretty sure it was me.
Oh, whatever.
No. I just need an acknowledgement that I called it from the very beginning. You gave me a chance at, like, final four, the last four people left in the house. You gave me, or left in the game, you gave me a chance to change my mind. I stayed strong. And she went. And going back, I want to back up. I'm sorry, guys. I'm not going linear. But I want to back up here. Annalise and Holly were in the final two of that comp. Okay.
Right.
They are supposed to be extremely close. They're supposed to be in the same alliance. They were fighting like they were at odds. You know, they stayed up there, for like another hour after Kat left, right? I mean, 45 minutes? They were up there for a while.
I did break down and watch the feed for that.
Yeah, I mean, they were up there for a while. For something that they should have agreed on pretty quickly who it was going to be and call it a day. If they feel, I mean, they're on the same side. They're extremely close. But they fought for that. And I think that moment was the moment that really shook up the six shooters.
Well,
where
yeah,
clearly Holly wanted to get down. Holly wanted Annalise to win. Jackson was yelling
right.
at Holly to stay up there. And
right.
there was paranoia that came from that interaction of why can't Holly get down? What is Jackson and Holly so afraid of? Why do they have to stay up on the thing? And, you know, it wasn't talked about. I mean, it was talked about a little bit, but not as much as it could have been because Holly is the one who ultimately won. But if Annalise ended up winning, now, I don't think that Annalise would have put Jackson and Holly on the block this week. Don't get me wrong. Annalise would have put up Nicole and Nick, or Nick and Sam, or Nicole and Sam. I mean, she would have done whatever anybody else would have said because, I mean, I don't want to be rude. that's not how I like to be. But Annalise
what?
Might be like one of the dumbest people in Big Brother history. I'm just throwing that out there.
Okay.
But anyway, I don't think, but I think the cracks formed with the distrust of not agreeing on someone to be HOH, that they fought it out until the bitter end. I think that was the beginning of the end, and cracks increased. They grew wider as the week progressed. To the point where we got what happened tonight, which was like an all-out fight between all of them. So, you know, I find that you can pinpoint what happened and when it happened. And I believe, people might think differently, but I believe it's that HOH comp that did them in. What do you think
probably,
about mine?
I like your analysis of that. That's, I agree that a lot of hesitation and especially between Sis and Jackson Holly combo. I mean, they actually played that out on the show, so I totally get that.
And just
Holly,
the fact that Holly wanted
they,
to get down.
They did. I was there for that conversation. Tried to have a conversation anyway.
Yeah. So that was very interesting, and I think that really set the table for what's been going on throughout the week. So we'll see what happens. HOH is a comp that is being played out right now. It's the picture comp where a bunch of the house guests are in different Photoshopped pictures and they're on different screens, and the house guests have to memorize the pictures and then get questions asked about them. So, you know, it can go anyone's up, you know, it could go to anyone. That's one of those comps where, you know, anybody can win. So we will see what happens with that. Who wins will kind of determine, but I would not be surprised. Well, it's very interesting because I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Nicole and Nick up because, you know, maybe they want to backdoor someone. And I wouldn't be surprised if like they just go up, the six shooters just go up. Two of the six shooters just go up. So anything can happen this week, which could be interesting.
I call HOH Nicole.
I don't know. I just don't know if she's someone who's going to win comps. You know, in the moment, I don't know if she's like quick draw McGraw. I mean, look, you know what's funny? My first thought was Jessica. Just because she got second place on that firework competition, which also involved a lot of like memorization, kind of the same skills, Jackson won that comp. So I could see Jackson winning it. I can see Jessica winning it. So we'll see what happens. I can also see if maybe Tommy's freaked out enough, maybe Tommy might actually win. And if Tommy wins, it will be two outsiders. I mean, he won't take a shot at anybody, but we'll see what happens. Julie is also bringing up this field trip. We get to vote on a field trip where three house guests are chosen by America to go on a field trip and play in a competition. And she announced tonight what this is. We have an entire week to vote for this, which is too long. A week is too long for us to vote on anything. So even just by that, I already know it's going to go ass up. But three people are chosen by America. Okay? They play this competition. One person is safe for the week. Person who wins is safe for the week. The person who comes in second place gets a punishment. They didn't say what the punishment was. And the third place person becomes the third nominee on the block that week. And America gets to vote who those people are. Now, if I'm America, which I am, let's face it, you're America too, Priscilla. If I'm America, I see this as, yes, I can vote. Yes, somebody gets safety, but there's a 66% chance that something bad is going to happen to them. Therefore, you got to go with three people that you don't like. You got to keep your favorites. You got to not vote for them. You got to vote for three people you don't like, knowing that, okay, one of those people is going to be safe, but two of those people are going to be on the block. Right? That's the strategy.
Okay.
No, you disagree?
Well, yeah, I'm just trying to ponder here. Because one does get immunity. I'm thinking how America's going to roll. And you know that they're probably going to go. Although Jackson is hate a lot. A lot. I can't decide what America will do because they always get it wrong.
See, they always get it wrong. Therefore, the three people, they're going to vote for their favorites because that's
right.
What America is used to doing. So
right.
It's going to be like Kat, Cliff, and Nicole, or like Tommy, Kat, and Cliff, or, you know, some sort of combination of that where, you know, So two of your favorites, bad things are going to happen to. We don't want that. We don't want that. You need three people. So you need like Jack Jackson, Christy. Annalise Jackson, Holly. you know, something, some sort of combination of that. So that, yes, one person is safe, but guess what? They would probably would be safe anyway, depending upon the HOH. Not a big deal. There's still enough people in the game that it won't, you know, somebody's safe. It doesn't impact, you know, majorly. And then, you know, but at least the other two people are in trouble. That's what it should be. But I'm telling you right now, because I absolutely agree with you, Priscilla, America, we're not the best at voting. We have an extremely rough time at it. And I believe there'll be some Cliff Tommy and Kat, or Nicole, Kat, and, you know, there's going to be some combination of those people playing this stupid comp, and it's going to be terrible. I agree with you, and I think that's what's going to happen.
Okay, I was just kind of reading some of the posts on Facebook. I haven't done Twitter. Consensus so far is Jack, Jackson, and Christy.
Good, so you know, good. Facebook, keep it up. That's a good call. They're strategizing. I don't know what the casual fan is going to do, but and I feel like the casual fan goes more to Facebook, so hopefully this is a good sign. That's a good strategy. I'm down for that strategy. I'm in on that. I don't vote on a lot of these, but if they're in for Jack, Jackson, and Christy, I will vote that way. I will do it. Anything to keep some of these outsiders safe. I'm good with that. So that's what this week is. Sunday night, we're going to see what all the action was. We'll see who wins HOH. Obviously, if you have feeds, you will see it in, you know, 20 to 30 minutes, I'm guessing, because they're going to have, I guess, everything up and running before After Dark starts, which is at midnight. So an hour maybe. And then we'll go from there. It should be an interesting week. I might actually watch some feeds this week. We'll see what happens. I wanted to talk a little bit about, I might go back to Big Brother if there's something else that I want to say about it, but right now I feel like that's all I want to say. But if I change my mind, I reserve the right to change my mind and go back to Big Brother if I remember something. But The Bachelorette happened. The finale, the two-night finale of The Bachelorette occurred this week. Priscilla, and I know that you've given up on the show, and I did for the most part. But I caught it every once in a while. I would see little things, and I kind of liked Hannah. I liked The Bachelorette. I enjoyed her. I thought she was funny. I thought she was charming. I thought she stood up for a bunch of things that I saw previous Bachelorettes not stand up for. I thought there were some good things about her. And she was left with a couple of real bad dudes. And I thought, how is this going to play out? Because in the media, we have seen a lot go down with these dudes. She had one guy, Luke, who was a really terrible guy who told her, you know, told her what to do and told her my wife wouldn't do this and I need my wife to act like this. And then when she said, well, I'm going to do whatever I want, he would kind of backtrack and kind of, you know, it was a little gross how he treated her. He was left in the game. There was another guy. There was two other guys that had girlfriends while they were in the house. While they were on the show, they left girlfriends. So I was like, how is this going to play out? Because no matter who she chooses, no one's going to be happy for them. Sure enough, the actual proposal, the actual choice was pretty quick. Jed, the aspiring singer-songwriter, who never missed a chance to pick up his guitar and play, was the winner of the show. And my favorite part about it was he is a terrible singer. Not to be rude. I've been saying that a lot tonight. Not to be mean. Not because I think he's a jerk. But he was insanely off key. And the lyrics didn't match the rhythm of what he was playing. It was very off. It was not good. He's an aspiring country singer. And, yeah, no, I'm not a big country person, but I feel like country music can be better. I don't think that – I think that country music is a much higher art form than what he is portraying. I feel like, Priscilla, you as a major fan of country music would be sad to see that this guy is claiming to be country music, because he's taking the entire genre and he's just slamming it to the ground. And, you know, casual country people such as myself, you don't want them to see this and think, is this what country music is these days? Because it's not. I feel confident in the country musicians out there that it's not. It's not often that I defend country music, Priscilla, but I had to. I had to. Because it was that terrible of a song. I was embarrassed for everyone, and it was that terrible of a song. And I was just like, country music is better than this, and I need to defend it. And there we go. That's what I did. And he proposed. He wrote a song. He sang a song to propose. It was terrible. She accepted, which if I heard that song, I would never accept a proposal. I would never accept a proposal. But she did. And then it cut to like a couple days later when she found out that he actually had a girlfriend back home, and more things were coming out. And, you know, she was with the editor of People Magazine, which, you know, who did a story on the girl that Jed left behind, who was also an aspiring country singer, who was also trying to, like, get this, I don't know, make her 15 minutes of fame about a guy cheating on her at the Bachelorette into some sort of country music career. Again, country music is better than this. Priscilla, I feel like you would be upset right now.
My takeaway is you really didn't care for his music much.
I didn't run. I not only did I not care for it, but like it brought the entire genre down to a level that I found unacceptable. You know, country music is better than this. And I don't have a super high opinion of it, but it's better than this. Anyway, she ends up breaking up with him, which is a huge sigh of relief. They go, they have the after the final rose, and then she asks out another one of the contestants out on a date, who was her final two out on a date, and that's where they left it. And it was cute, and it was sweet, and it was a realistic ending, especially when they cast all douchebags. And, you know, Bachelorette, you know, they got it. They have to cast better next season. They have to make a real effort to cast better this season. This, I think next season is a real make or break season for them, because, you know, this season, half the guys were called out as having, you know, serious relationships back home before leaving for the game. And serious, quote unquote, it can't be that serious if they're going on The Bachelorette. But, you know, I'm sure that these girls want their men to be famous, and so they let them go off in the hopes that they, you know, get out in a couple weeks and they come back to them. And, you know, but it was just terrible, terribly casted. And then the bachelor picks, the people that were left, the people that are like kind of decent, like one dude's a pilot and that's okay, but he's a pilot, like a personal pilot. They don't make a ton of money. So he's like living at home in his parents' basement. This is not what The Bachelor is. The Bachelor is not a dude living at home in his parents' basement. That is a far cry from the Andrew Firestones of the world. They need to go back to someone like super successful. They do. They need to get out of the mold of choosing someone from the cast, and they need to go out and find a super eligible, super successful bachelor, and they need to bring their A game again. This is my opinion, Priscilla.
Your opinion.
I need it.
I don't think they can ever get back what I miss. The franchise is just too far gone for me to have hope, so I'm done. Don't care what they do.
They won't. I'm not saying they will, but I'm just saying we need a successful person back in the mix. We need bring on the Andrew Firestone, bring on what was that fake prince, or he wasn't fake, he was an actual prince, but like he was like, you know, very far removed from the, what was his name? Oh my God, this is gonna drive me crazy.
I don't think I've seen that season actually.
No, you totally saw that season. He was in a million reality shows. Oh, that's gonna drive me nuts now. He was on a million reality shows after the fact.
I don't know. I'm not ringing a bell with me right now.
And the woman that he chose, like, they had, like, a very roller coaster relationship. Oh, my God. This is going to make me nuts forever.
A prince.
Lorenzo. It's Prince Lorenzo.
I don't remember him.
He was from the 9th season of The Bachelor very early on. He was, like, right in there, right when they were, like, you know, choosing, like I said, the Andrew Firestones and the Charlie O'Connells.
Remember,
like,
I watched Andrew's season, but I didn't watch the other one. I know I didn't.
It was a good season. That was the season, oh, my God, this is going to be me just trying to find remember names from the 9th season of The Bachelor. But the girl that was on the show, and she became super, I believe they made like the spinoff show so that she could come back. Like it was all her. She was blonde. That doesn't help. That doesn't ring a bell. Oh my God.
No. Krista?
No.
Spinoff
no.
Of what?
Spinoff, like, I swear, like, the Bachelor pad was created so that they could bring her back. Like, because Bachelor pad happened, like, real close after that.
Okay. I don't remember her or him at all. Because there was a few seasons I didn't watch.
Oh, man. That was a good season. If you want to, like, if you're just, like, missing The Bachelor and you want to go back to its roots, that's a good season to check in on. I know that that will never happen for you, but I'm just saying that's a good one to check out. Because that's a definite one that was their roots. They went back to the roots. It's definitely stuff that you like. It was very good. Back in 2006.
Well,
oh, yeah.
Actually, I don't know why or how, speaking of a good show that I think I might like, back
Erica
in the day.
Erica Rose, that's her name. Erica Rose. Go ahead,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
I do remember her, but I don't remember her from the show. I do remember that name. Anyways, Ryan Oprey, do you remember him from Survivor Pearl Island, I believe?
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
All right, well, he just announced on his page that he is going to be doing, it's called the Ultimate Expedition Race, 60-plus teams, 350-plus athletes, 30 countries, nonstop, 24 hours a day, will conquer the elements and cross the finish line, world's toughest race called Eco Challenge Fiji in 2020.
Oh, cool.
It's going to be an Amazon Prime Video exclusive through them.
Oh,
that looks
cool.
Like that. That kind of does that remind kind of reminds you of the race? What it was that one race across?
Yeah, isn't that called Eco Challenge too? Wasn't Eco Challenge like the precursor to Survivor?
I think.
Yeah, Eco Challenge was like the precursor to Survivor, like that Mark Burnett produced before Survivor. But then Phil Kogan did one of these like hardcore. That wasn't the Amazing Race. It was like a hardcore version of the Amazing
well,
Race as
have,
well. So
they have hashtag World's Toughest Race, hashtag Eco Challenge Fiji at Bear Gillis. So is he having something? Maybe he's going to be a host, maybe?
Maybe. We'll see. I could be into that. I don't have Amazon Prime, though, which is a issue. But I'm
it's
sure that I can find
You have a
I'm,
fire stick.
I'm,
an issue.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure I can find my way around that.
And then I'm in the news, a little bit of news gossip. Evidently, it had been reported that Rudy from season one Survivor had passed away, but he has not passed away. He's just has Alzheimer's and it sounds like he's close to passing away. And I know here's one good one for you. You were the one that said something about CMT and country music on CMT starting tomorrow night is going to be called Racing Wives. And it's going to be, I would assume like Housewives, but it's going to be Racing Wives.
Yeah, it's going to be like, it's going to be like, whatchamacallit, Basketball Wives on VH1, only with NASCAR. Yeah.
And for those interested, I have been out of the racing scene since my dad passed away because it's just kind of hard to watch because that used to be our thing. But the two Bush wives are going to be on, and then Austin Dillon's wife, and then I don't know who this Meryl Swan is. She's a girlfriend to one of the racers that roomed with Austin Dillon, and then she roomed with his wife, Whitney. And then there must be an actual race car driver that's going to be on it as well. And I don't know of her, Amber Backen or something like that. So if anybody's interested, I think it starts at 9 o'clock Eastern time tomorrow on CMT. Oh, take it back, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, I will say the following. I don't know any of the people.
That guy.
I don't know any of the people that you just said. None of those people. I will say, though, that I do like a Friday 10 p.m. reality show because it's just train wrecky enough that like Friday night at 10 is like where they're going to put them on. That's like your reality boot camp spot. That's, you know, that's like a Bridezilla spot or a Bad Girls Club spot. Those are a Friday 10 o'clocker ones. So
now,
it could be interesting.
Here's why I think you would like this. This kind of reminds me of some of the original Housewives. There's two sister-in-law, there's the sister-in-law pair, and then there's a best friend pair. And then you kind of get the mix of them outside of that. And it kind of takes you back to the original Housewives planogram, you know, like especially Jersey.
You got a little bit, you got a little bit New Jersey. You got Caroline and Dina and Jacqueline. And I guess I wouldn't be opposed. I do watch an occasional Basketball Wives or Love and Hip Hop. That's like VH1 when those shows are on tend to be my go-to when I'm falling asleep at night. I don't know why, but that tends to be the shows that I like to watch. I wouldn't be opposed. And like I said, that Friday 10 o'clock slot, that's the train wreck slot right there. So I've watched many a reality show at 10 p.m. on a Friday. I think that's when, whatchamacallit, the other CMT show that you had me watch, Redneck Island or whatever. I think that was on Friday. So, yeah. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for...
if I recall,
thank you for that.
You didn't want to admit, but you kind of did like it.
Redneck Island? I did. I liked it more than I thought I would. I liked the competitive aspect of it. There were some things that I didn't like about it. But that show seemed to stop pretty suddenly. Like, they
it did.
You know, they did. But I remember, like, I watched, like, three seasons. And there were people that from, like, all three seasons that came back. Like, it was a very small pool. Almost like a challenge, but they didn't have as many seasons as the challenge to play with. So they had, like, the same people coming back over and over. So I didn't know if that meant that they had a hard time casting people for this show or what. But I'm surprised now that I'm talking about this. I'm surprised we haven't had a Redneck Island person on the challenge. They had all those people last season. I'm surprised that we didn't have a Redneck Island person on the challenge.
Yeah.
What was her? Oh, Party Down South, right? That was the show that, That was that on CMT?
I believe that was.
Yeah. All right. We went on a big tangent there.
I had that in my brain, and I didn't want to forget all of them. I had to get
That's
it out
good.
Quickly.
That's good. And just going back a story, yes, I heard someone texted me that Rudy passed away, and I was very sad about it. And then I was texted later on that he didn't pass away, and I was just like, all right, this is a good thing. So I'm happy that Rudy did not pass away.
Well, it sounds like he is in assisted living, and his son wishes him prayer.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good, but yeah. Hey, you want to hear some other news today?
Sure. We're on the news field.
Yeah. Love Island renewed for season 2 by CBS.
Really?
Yeah. CBS announced today at the TCA's, the Television Critics Association, that Love Island would be renewed for a season 2. At the end of the day, I'm going to end up watching every single episode of this season. I'm a couple episodes behind right now, but I'm there. I'm going to watch it. I like the UK version better. I'm just going to throw it out there. The UK version, though, in its defense, in the American version defense, is like 70 episodes. It's a huge season. And they're trying to push a lot in 20 episodes, and that makes a big difference. Also, the couple that should win is a super boring couple, Elizabeth and Zach. They're just not, like, I don't know, they're just not a couple I would stand behind, and therefore, if America has anything to say about it, I don't think that they win. I'm calling it now. I don't think that they win.
Okay.
And then I don't know who wins, and it might be someone who's, like, been there for 3 days, and then we have a whole whatchamacallit situation from last year's Survivor and Eric Survivor situation, and I don't want that either. So
okay, I have not even caught this, but is there really a competition side to this Love Island thing? Because I've not seen that. I mean,
oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. There's a couple that ends up winning like $100,000 at the end.
I think I do remember that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's a competition side of it. It's very similar, like, it's very similar to like a Bachelor in Paradise thing, except for people win money at the end, where they start voting each other out towards the end. They'll start, kind of like Survivor and Big Brother. They will vote each other out. America gets a say and either gets to vote people out, dump them from the island, or at least put them on the block, put them up for elimination. So there is definitely a strategy element to this game. It's not as strategic as you would think, but there are strategic elements in there, which I find really fascinating. So it's, you know, it's that kind of show. And like I said, I didn't know what I was going to do, if I was going to like it, if I was going to keep up with it. But maybe it's because I'm not as invested in Big Brother this year that I have a little bit more time. I'm keeping up with it, which is surprising for a 5-episode a week show, but I'm keeping up with it. So, well, yay me. Yay me. I don't know if I could do it if I was super invested in what Big Brother is doing right now, but I'm not. So it gives me an opportunity to watch some of these shows like Love Island. I am super invested in Are You the One right now. I can't even begin. I don't know for the life of me who the hell is paired up with who. I love it in a way, and in another way, I'm like, are they just making it up as they go along? I thought 1,000,000% Kylie and Carrie were a match. 1,000,000% I thought they were a match. When they went to the truth booth and they were not a match, I was like, okay. So that must mean that Amber is a match. And I was very bummed out by this because I don't like them together. And Amber deserves better. But then right. They weren't a match. So, I mean, does this mean Justin and Mitch are a match? I don't see it, but they have to be. I mean, these two beans belong to somebody.
I was going to go and do my own little theory on this, and I did not have time this week. But I don't see that there's a possible way to find a scenario. Because you have two different ways to go. Where at least before, you had one comparison, and there, you cut that field in half on being able to match up.
And here's the other equation, though. Here's the other thing with this. We have usually on a typical Are You the One season, there's a few outsiders. So there's a few people that haven't connected with anyone. And they're kind of just doing their own thing. And there's a lot of couples. And there might be like two or three people that have had, you know, big connections with a lot of different people. And they're kind of at the center of the storm. Or there's like a, you know, there's a love triangle or something to that effect. But, you know, most of the time there's somebody. This season, I feel like half the house hasn't connected with anyone yet. So we right. still have, like, where the hell are all these people? Where are they going? And then you have, like, Kai, who's connected with, like, 7 people. And we still have – I still have no idea who his match is. And so you're like, okay, we have all these people who the hell is going to be Danny's match? I have no idea. Bissette's match. Who's going to be his match? Brandon's match. I have no idea who any of these people are going to end up. Paige, you know, I have no idea who any of these people are going to be matched up with. And then at the end of the season, we're going to get, like, who these people are matched with. And I'm going to be like, what the hell? How did this happen? So it's weird, but I love the math of it this year. I'm so in. I'm trying to figure out who these couples are more than I ever have before. I'm so in on this season because of it. I was sad to see a blackout, but to be honest, I thought we were going to get one way earlier in the season. The fact that they have gone so many matches and not gotten a blackout, I'm surprised by. And I think they might have another one in their future. I could see them dropping again. So, you know, it's a rough ask. I ultimately don't think that they're going to get it this year. But, you know, they're asking them to do a big thing. And yes, there's less people in the house. There's 16. They only have to find 8 couples. But when, like I said, there's a good, like, at least 7 people in the house that you're like, where, you know, they're not connected to anyone. We haven't seen them form a bond with anyone. So it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. Although I feel like Paige and Danny might be a perfect match. I might be calling that now. They seem just, I feel like that's possibly something. But who the hell is going to be with that, whatchamacallit guy, who picked Justin and really screwed up the order of the rest of the house and caused that blackout? What's his name, Michael? I forget his name.
No.
Who's he going to end up with?
I don't know, because he, oh, gosh. I wish they evicted somebody, because he'd be the one that I would want evicted. He drives me nuts.
Agreed. Agreed. Completely agreed. I want to say Michael, and I know that that's wrong, but yet I still want to say it. Therefore, you know, I will. What do you think about this Dr. Frankie business? This random lady coming in every once in a while to, like, talk them through the house. I feel like she is not helpful at all in this situation. What is she there for? I do not get it.
And she doesn't even get that much airtime. I have no idea. It's kind of like a waste of airspace there.
Yeah, there's episodes that she's not on at all, and then she'll, like, randomly come in and be like, I want to talk to you. Like, they did a challenge with a balloon where they were busting balloons. And she tried to take that challenge and make it into a metaphor for life, where she was like, I want to talk about your love bubble. And what's this? And then they told us things in the house that we already knew. Stuff about Amber and Nori, like all these things. And we're like, we've already talked to these couples. I need to find out about people we haven't talked about yet. Like, I just feel like it's very weird. Is she a real doctor? I guess she is, if they're calling her that. But you're right. It's a very, like, weird waste of, like, time waster that we don't need this season. There's enough going on. We need to take a look more at these connections. We don't have time for Dr. Frankie's nonsense.
Right, exactly. I would rather they have, like, an extra date, since they have so many ways they can go. I'd rather for them to have a different one-on-one interaction and voting, as opposed to having her on for that few minutes each section.
I feel like we need an extra chance per week to find a couple, like a second truth booth mechanism, without it being a second truth booth. I feel like we need one more, like, they should get one more opportunity. Maybe not even every episode, but, like, every third episode, just one more shot to find somebody. Because I feel like, you have to win the game. You have to win the game with the appropriate person to go into the truth booth with. There's all of these factors that go into, finding, like, these people going on a date. And we've had the same people winning competitions all season. So, like, we've had the same people going on dates and the same people eligible for the truth booth. And so we haven't gotten any clear matches. So it was very, Kylie and Carrie are not into each other at all. They're not. But they thought they were a match. So there was that scene where they were like, I'm here for you, inside of the house and out. I was like, these people don't like each other. What is happening here? I think they were so relieved when they were not a match. They were like, cool. They didn't talk to each other again. They were like, peace out. I'm done. I'm free from you. It was very weird. But I totally thought they were a match. So it's a very interesting season. Mathematically, strategically, super interesting. I've never thought about Are You the One so much as I'm doing this season, because I cannot figure out who's with who. So keep that in mind. If you're not watching, you should catch up, because I'm in. I am in. Anyway, that's it for us tonight. There's a lot of other things I wanted to get to. Next week, we'll obviously discuss more Big Brother. I'm going to take you back to a little So You Think You Can Dance, because I miss talking about it a little bit. We'll talk about a bunch of different stuff. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Reality Ally. That's Reality Allie. Priscilla is at Psilla. And that's it. We will talk to you next week. Good night, everyone.
Night, everyone.